rush hour, and traffic in Bangkok is at a standstill. The vehicles idling on the streets waste millions of dollars worth of fuel and spew tons of pollution into the air each day. Their exhaust fumes add to the discharge from massive air conditioners cooling the skyscrapers along the streets and the fuel-burning power plants outside the city. Environmentalists say this is one of the negatives as people in developing nations begin to emerge from poverty and join the consumer culture. There are other problems too, rising health threats, degradation of waterways, farmland, forests, coastal areas, and in the longer term, climate change and loss of biodiversity. The United Nations Environmental Program released its Global Environment Outlook last month, stating that nearly two-thirds of the world's ecosystems are in decline. Climate change caused by burning fossil fuels is spawning drought, more hurricanes, and floods, which last year cost the insurance industry an estimated $200 billion. UN spokesman Nick Nuttall says this has become the price of development on a crowded planet.
The economic and the environmental issues have really come together over the last 12 months. The message is now crystal clear that the environment is the actual basis of overcoming poverty, basis of economic growth, and stability in this world of 6 billion people.
Nowhere is the effect of population on the environment more evident than in Asia, home to nearly two-thirds of the world's people and some of the most vibrant economies. Chulalongkorn University population expert, Professor Wipan Plachuapmot, says Asia has also some of the world's fastest-growing cities, but the rush to greater economic opportunity in urban centers has big drawbacks.
Rapid urban growth and unplanned or poorly managed urbanization may lead to urban poverty, unemployment, inadequate housing and infrastructure, as well as environmental deterioration and health hazards.
Wipan says rising standards of living in Asia are also creating a voracious appetite for consumer goods, which means more oil, coal, and water are used by industry to provide the goods at market. But UN spokesman Nuttall says emerging economic powers like China, India, and Brazil cannot be blamed for pursuing the same prosperity seen in the industrialized world. And he says they deserve credit for understanding the link between growth and pressures on the environment.
There are very encouraging signs that the developing countries of Asia are taking environmental sustainability very seriously and taking it more seriously and at an earlier stage than we did in the West.
He notes Chinese plans to lessen dependence on fossil fuels like coal while hoping to get 20% of its energy from renewable resources such as hydroelectric dams by 2015. India is working to clean up 500,000 rivers and lakes, noting a healthy environment is crucial to better development. But that only goes so far, when the number of people living on less than $2 a day has grown to 3 billion, or half the world's population. The poor present their own pressures on the environment. Those living at subsistence levels often are forced to resort to desperate measures. This can include cutting down or burning forest land indiscriminately, either to sell the lumber or cultivate the soil for food. So while development can cause pressure on the environment, so can lack of development. Population expert Wipan says governmental action is key.
Especially in developing countries, the government needs to invest in people, education and skill. The government should trade on investment in human resources and care more about harmony with nature than about unnecessary consumption.
The UN Environmental Program's Nick Nuttall suggests a step further, that rich countries pay poor countries for maintaining their natural reserves, like vital forest land.
It's estimated that the tropical forests of the world are soaking up $60 billion worth of carbon. But the people in those countries, like the Congo, get paid nothing for their standing trees. Maybe there should be some kind of recompense for that.
Nuttall notes that many of the forests, wetlands, and coral reefs in developing nations are also being explored to develop new crops, vital medicines, and industrial products.
We're moving from the old industries of the past into a biological century, and they are the havens, in many cases, of these new genetic products. The question is, how do we come up with some kind of global regime that will recompense these people for the wealth that they have?
Throughout the world, Nuttall says, there is a growing awareness not only of the value of preserving the environment, but that the environment is also a huge source of monetary value if developed correctly. He calls it a new horizon for global environmental health. But for people in the exhaust-choked streets of cities like Bangkok, that horizon at times may be difficult to see. Scott Bobb, VOA News, Bangkok.